Warner Brothers Pictures. Lightning flashes across an eye painted on a cracked canvas. Icon Productions. Trevor Garfield, a gaunt, fit-looking black man with close-cropped hair, a neat moustache and round tortoiseshell-rimmed spectacles, rides his bicycle across a New York bridge in the cloudy early morning light. He pedals furiously along the middle of the suspension bridge, his face determined. New York high-rises and tower blocks loom in his wake, and in the hazy blue distance, the Statue of Liberty. Samuel L. Jackson stars in 187. With John Hurd, Kelly Rowan, Clifton Gonzalez-Gonzalez, Tony Planer, Karina Arroyeva, Lobo Sebastian, Jack Keller, Jonah Rooney and Demetrius Navarro. He rides his dark blue mountain bike fast along the wide cycle path in the middle of two busy lanes of traffic and comes off the bridge into the heart of the urban sprawl. He cycles down dilapidated streets, past burnt-out mattresses on street corners, rubble and abandoned buildings obliterated by graffiti. Speeding along sidewalks, he bombs by barbed wire-topped walls and zigzags through the traffic, racing swiftly and single-mindedly towards his destination. He's wearing a white shirt and a black tie, cream trousers, a Mac and a leather briefcase slung on a strap over his shoulders. His feet are a blur in black paint and leather shoes. He pulls up outside the large stone gates of the Roosevelt Whitney High School. Dodging the throngs of students, he carries the bike up the steps past the teacher on duty at the school entrance.
All right, let's go, people, let's go. 1 minute before party lockdown, pick off the headphones. Thank you. Let's go. Let's go. Everybody move inside. Move inside. Morning, Trevor. Morning. Let's go. Get inside. Let her go. No smoking. I don't smoke. You don't smoke. Let's go, people. Today's a good day to learn.
Entering the busy hall, Garfield remounts the cycle and pedals down the corridor.
Watch yourself, man. No riding bikes in the hallway, stupid.
Coming through. He cycles down a flight of stairs. He rides down a corridor and stops outside a classroom. A couple of students smooch against the lockers.
All country, my failing homeboy, the bell hadn't rung yet.
You're some crazy nigga, G.
Thank you very much, Augie, for sharing that. Okay, let's go. YouTube, please, this is not the Playboy channel. Good morning, one and all. Let's get started, please. August. Taiwan, pass out the book for me, please.
Hey, yo, what up with your car, G? You picked it with the pull-out 8-track blew up or some shit?
All right, let's pay attention, please. Now, I'm sure some of you are wondering why I brought this bicycle to class. What?
A student plays a flute.
Excuse me, grasshopper? Thank you.
The purpose of the bicycle is to demonstrate centripetal force, which is the opposite of the force we studied yesterday, which was...
Centrifugal force. I thought I'd give you a little demonstration. Taiwan, would you come up here and help me, please? Taiwan.
Hey, yo, what up, son?
Go on, see what your daddy want.
Hey.
Here you go. Brace the handlebars behind your knees. Sit.
The boy sits on a swivel chair.
Down. Crank the pedals, get that wheel going at about 180 RPM.
Hey, yo, what's up with this?
Come on, brother.
Put some muscle into it. Come on.
Yo, man, I told you it's crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? Got a nigga riding a bike, shit ain't even going nowhere.
Bear with me, bear with me. You'll see.
Harder.
Alright.
Harder.
Yo, come on, P, you get played.
Okay, now tilt the wheel to your right.
Right, alright. Ah! Hey, yo, Augie, check me out, you know what I'm saying?
What?
Driven by the force of the spinning wheel he's holding, Taiwan starts to turn around on the swivel chair. The class is drawn into the experiment. Mr. Garfield smiles at their enthusiasm. Garfield opens his physical science book. The words, Garfield, 187, have been scrawled across its pages. The room blurs around him. On the front sleeve of the book, the name, Dennis Broadway. Garfield swings around looking for him. There's only an empty chair. Now Garfield walks up some stairs and into an office. Inside at a desk, a grey-haired man smoking a pipe.
Walter, I need to talk to you.
I'm pretty busy right now, Garfield. What is it?
Open it.
He hands him the book.
Jeez. I don't suppose this kid cares about our budget crisis. Have the textbook room charge him for the book.
That says 187, Walter. That's the police code for homicide.
For Christ's sake, I know what it stands for. Look, the kid probably heard it in a rap song. It doesn't mean anything.
That book belongs to Dennis Broadway, Walter. He's a known gangster.
Garfield, if I had a dollar for every time a student threatened faculty...
Did you tell Dennis Broadway he was getting a fail from me?
I have legal access to those files.
He's, transfer from Nixon, didn't he?
If he gets through the semester without a fail, he gets to go back to Nixon. So he blew his opportunity. Now he has to learn to live with the consequences.
I don't think he wants to live with the consequences, Walter. I think this kid wants me dead.
Relax. This has nothing to do with you.
I should have been told, Walter.
You know what your problem is? On the one hand, you think someone is trying to kill you. And on the other hand, you actually believe kids are paying attention in your classes.
Garfield looks dismayed. He exits the office into a long, empty corridor. There are low lamps hanging from the ceiling, bathing the hall in an eerie blue light. The corridor fills up with pupils. Garfield walks slowly through the crowd, fearful and apprehensive. Individuals seem to swim out of the distorted hubbub around him. Evil-looking kids in gang colours swagger by. Boys wearing hoods and black leather stare menacingly out of the gloom. In the corridor behind Garfield, a young man wearing a black sweatshirt and a woolly black hat pulled low over his eyes reaches into his back pocket and surreptitiously unwraps a weapon. It has a wooden handle and a long nail-like protrusion. He holds it behind his back and advances on Garfield. Garfield suddenly sees him reflected in a mirror on the wall, but too late, he's pushed forward against the wall and stabbed repeatedly in the back and sides. His attacker drops the weapon and bursts out through double doors at the end of the corridor, letting in a shaft of white light. Garfield slumps to the ground, clutching his side. Fifteen months later, the sun is rising over the Hollywood Hills, illuminating the famous white letters and turning the low-lying smog that hangs over the city into an orange haze. You live in the
city. Morning.
Morning, Mr. Garfield. This is a subunit. Are you available for work?
Sure.
There's a science class on the valley at John Quincy Adams. It's a 4-day assignment. The teacher's name is Ascander.
All right. Thank you.
Garfield, now without his moustache, showers and irons a red shirt for the day ahead. He puts on a tie and some smart brown shoes and stands in front of a crucifix hanging on the wall.
If you're listening, God, please help me today. Please give me a chance to do my job. The job you put me here to do in the first place. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's me, Trevor God. Amen.
He picks up an inhaler, his brown leather briefcase, and reverses his car out of the drive. Views of Los Angeles through the orange smog. White hilltop houses, windswept palm trees, skyscrapers silhouetted in the dust against the glowing red sun. Now the grounds of the John Quincy Adams High School, three buses parked in front discharging pupils onto the pavement. A young man with bleached hair gets out of a car. He throws a cigarette away and watches two other kids leap the wire fence into school. Garfield approaches the front entrance. There's a guard on the door with a metal detector, searching pupils as they enter.
Baseball cap, give it up. Hold, please.
Oh, I'm a substitute.
Card. Okay, you want the main office, straight down the hall, turn right, check in with Mrs. Ford. Right.
In the hallway, a large middle-aged woman.
Excuse me, could you tell me what bungalow 86 is, please?
All the way out next to the parking lot, last bungalow on the left. Good luck.
Swarms of teenage kids walk across the forecourt towards the classrooms. Pairs of discarded trainers have been tied together and thrown up on overhead wires. As Garfield walks through the yard, he sees kids playing basketball and doing deals by the painted walls. Down a corrugated iron alleyway, four young men are spray-painting dubs on the walls. One wears a rosary. They stop and eyeball Garfield as he goes by. Looking nervously around, he heads for a small brown bungalow with a tiled roof and a number 8 on it. Garfield walks slowly over to the teacher's desk and pulls a file from his leather briefcase. Sweating profusely, he turns his back to the class, shakes his inhaler and takes a deep puff on it. He picks up a piece of chalk, writes Mr. Garfield on the board and underlines it. Underneath, he writes a four-line nonsense poem that begins, Gliss was very frapper. She had to varp and farfies Marsden.
Morning.
To him, the class is just a blur.
Before I take the role, I'd like to make a point.
Farfy. What up, Farfy?
It's not important who or what Farfy is. Point I'd like to make is anyone here can be a scientist.
What's he talking about?
A scientist is like a detective. He investigates data he doesn't understand by scratching the surface so he can see what's underneath.
The class comes into focus for him as individuals sitting at their desks.
Things like this. No, watch.
He starts to write on the board.
Did Gliss climp? Where's your teacher keep her chalk?
In the desk.
He goes into the desk drawer. Rifling under some papers, he uncovers a silver revolver.
Can I help you?
A middle-aged guy in a colourful shirt and jeans carrying a briefcase.
Sorry I'm late, I had to handle something. You a sub?
For Miss Eskander, science.
Eskander? Well, this is Dave Childress, American history.
On the walls, Garfield notices for the first time the pictures of presidents.
I don't know how to break it to you, Mr. Garfield. This is Bungalow 84. You want Bungalow 86. That's your fault. You must have zagged when you should have zigged. Somebody jacked the number off my door. I keep asking Garcia to fix it, but all I get is nada. Escander, come here. See this mess over here? Huh? That's Escander.
Through the parted blinds, another bungalow in a fenced yard. Garfield looks uneasy. Inside the bungalow, light slants in through the lowered blinds. The class are standing in gangs around the windows. The group of young men who were graffitiing the walls earlier nudge each other and point. There's a girl standing by the door with a small white bundle in her arms.
It's not real. We're studying teen parenting in home ec. It's computerized, so it cries and shit.
He nods at her and strides over to the window. As he walks round, most of the pupils return to their seats.
No,
one of the gang remains standing, a tough, shaven-headed youth in a denim jacket. He's chewing on the rosary he wears and surveying the scene outside. A dozen books tossed from the window lie on the dusty ground.
No speak English. Speak Spanish, Mr.
Garfield. My name's Garfield.
Speak Spanish, Mr. G. Hey, G, you know what that means when a homeboy calls you G? It means gangster, I say. You a gangster, maestro?
No. No, I'm not a gangster. Would you do me a favor and please go out there and pick up those books?
Charlie, the man, I ain't picking that shit up.
You will pick it up.
What's your name? What is your name?
Cesar Chavez. Why don't you recognize me?
An electronic tag on his ankle.
See this? See, I'm already on house arrest, Holmes. There's nothing more you can do to me.
Straight up, dog. I'm out of here.
Excuse me, could you have a seat, please? Guys.
Mr. G, those guys that just walked out aren't even in here this period. And this fool's name is Benny Chacon.
Shut your mouth, hood rat. Schoolgirl bitch.
That's enough, Benny.
You ain't no real teacher, fool. You're nothing but a sub, I say.
Why do you wear that rosary, Benny?
To put God on me, okay? So now why don't you go sit down and read your newspaper, wannabe motherfucker?
Are you done?
Just give me a referral and shut up.
Garfield goes to his desk and angrily starts to fill in a form.
For future reference, anyone who disrupts a class is subject to disciplinary action. This classroom is our sanctuary, yours and mine. Respect it. And for your information, I am a real teacher.
He holds out the slip of paper, his hand shaking. Benny snatches it. Staring defiantly into Garfield's eyes, he gets up and makes for the door. Garfield's lips twitch with suppressed emotion.
All right. Who'd like to help me pick up those books?
Benny throws the bald slip of paper at Garfield's back. He flinches as though it were a knife. On his way out, Benny stares back menacingly. Alarmed, Garfield looks around at his pupils' laughing faces. Students hang out in the shade. One slams a broken vending machine. As Dave Childress makes his way across, a group of guys run away from the fence. He rounds the corner. Rita from Garfield's class is on some mattresses pulling her bra back up. She looks defiant.
What the hell's happening here, little sister?
Shooting him an evil look, she drags her jumper back on. In the canteen, Garfield is quietly eating lunch. Dave comes over.
Hey, Garfield. How goes the battle? Did you, get your Binky Marsden Farfied?
Oh, you went for the Viper. First one of these homeboys that gives you the slightest bit of shit. You march his ass down to Larry Highland. He's their counselor. Because right off the bat, you got to sacrifice one of them. Show them some balls, let them know who's boss. And don't look to the administration for support, because they haven't been in the classrooms in the last 10 years. They don't know shit. And look at me. I get tenure, and I'm still out in the damn bungalows. I should be in the A building, one of them nice air-conditioned rooms. You met Garcia yet? Our principal?
I did. Ellen Henry, computer science.
Trevor, Garfield.
Nice scar you got there. You ever sub here before?
No, first time.
What about permanent?
7 years in the Bed-Stuy section of Brooklyn. Roosevelt Whitney High.
Roosevelt Whitney? Roosevelt Whitney, isn't that where that teacher got stabbed to death last year?
Actually, he survived.
No. I mean, it was on 60 Minutes. There was a teacher. This gangbanger had a 10-penny nail stabbed him about a dozen times in a hallway. It was... Jesus Christ. You're him. It was you. Holy shit, Garfield. When was that? Last fall? When?
October 27th.
Damn. What a schmuck. What a schmuck. I'm giving advice to a guy with a purple heart.
Excuse me.
Man. Hey, listen to me. In my book, you're a fucking hero, man. Damn straight.
Look, you know, getting stabbed doesn't make me a hero.
What'd they do to the kid?
Put him in a facility upstate till he's 21.
That's it? Should have caned him. You should have caned the little bastard. You know, like they did that kid in Singapore? You remember that? President of Singapore had a few choice words. When a continuing state of defiance and disorder cannot be checked by the rules, then new and sometimes drastic rules must be forged to maintain order. The alternative is anarchy.
So why do you still teach?
Well, the same reason that you do, Garfield, for the paycheck.
Kids chase and throw food at each other in the yard. Traffic on Highway 101, cars moving slowly in the heat, a cartoon-style hoarding for a topless traffic school. Three full yellow school buses pull up outside. A policeman walks along past the school grounds. A throng of students move between classes. In the dark bungalow, Garfield stands in front of a projector. The clock reads almost 3.
Hey, hold on, everyone. I still have a few minutes.
Aw, man. Go home, man.
Now, can someone tell me the difference between the central nervous system and the lymphatic system?
Mr. G, you got a nice butt.
Rita smirks.
Since you seem to know so much about anatomy, Ms. Martinez. The central nervous system and the lymphatic system. Tell me the difference.
It's like the central nervous system is your brain and your spinal cord. And the lymphatic system is the stuff in your blood that fights diseases.
That's right.
Schoolgirl.
Man, that bitch was cheating. She don't know nothing.
Are you writing on your desk, Mr. Sanchez?
I don't see nothing in my hands, do you?
He walks over to Cesar Sanchez. On the desk he's written KOS by cartoon in black marker pen.
KOS. What's that? Tagging crew? Cartoon, that you?
It might be.
So does KOS have something to do with your friend Benny?
Don't go there, S.A. KOS stands for capping off suckers who give out referrals. Don't be disrespecting my homeboy Benny. I don't like it. And he don't like you.
Yeah, well, do me a favor. Go up to the counter, get a paper towel, and wipe your desk off. And what's your name?
You mean? Stevie Littleton.
Well, you do me a favor, Mr. Littleton. Turn that tagger shirt inside out.
What's this? Well, Helen said it was okay. Later, Levon. It was a pleasure meeting you.
The bleach blonde Stevie pats him on the stomach. The class trails out of the room. On Caesar's chair, Garfield finds a small spiked weapon. Rita passes by.
Don't pay no attention. They're just trying to fuck with you, Mr. G. I mean, play with you.
Sorry I said you had a nice ass.
Apology accepted.
But I know schoolgirl.
Yeah, heaven forbid I think that.
He stares at the small weapon. A basketball slams against the wall. A student leers in through the grate. He walks over to the blinds and has an idea. Moving over to the clock, he pulls the blinds down over it. Ellen Henry is at the door, her blonde hair gathered away from her heart-shaped face, her pleasant hazel eyes alert.
May I come in?
Sure. Oh, I'm making time a reward instead of a distraction.
I don't know why I jumped up the way I did at lunch. It's just weird.
Sorry.
For what it's worth, Dave Childress thinks that you walk on water.
Is that a good thing?
I think it takes a lot of courage to go back into a classroom after something like that happens.
Not if the only thing you ever wanted to do was teach.
Ah, you see, there's our predicament.
A ball hits the wall. Ellen flinches. A muscular student peers in.
I assume you've met Benny Chacon.
Yes, I have.
Last week, Benny and his tagging crew had Ms. Eskander pinned in the corner over there. She's 7 months pregnant. So she kicks him. And if the district construes it as an assault and battery on a student, she's gone.
They do that?
Mm-hmm. She's non-tenured. Wouldn't be surprised if she files for stress leave by the end of the week. It's too bad. She was a good teacher.
The ball players slam into each other.
Can I ask you a personal question? When you were attacked, was it a random thing, or did you know the boy who did it?
No, I knew him. I flunked him.
Can you see something like that coming?
Kid tells you he wants to kill you, you best believe him. He was an OT, an opportunity transfer, but nobody told me that till it was too late.
Do you know that Benny's an OT? Last year, he was convicted of felony assault and suspended twice. I even testified against him as a character witness. And now I get to see him every morning in my homeroom.
You put him in your homeroom?
Condition of his probation is that he stay in school.
You talk to the principal?
Many times. This kid is threatening me, and all Garcia cares about is a lawsuit.
What did Benny say to you?
A tattooed ball player looms in at the window.
Real bad. Someone's been calling my house every night and hanging up. A couple of weeks ago, they broke into my car. And on Friday, I think someone was in my house, but I can't prove it. I don't know what to do.
You can quit.
You didn't.
They hold eye contact. Across the dusty ground, Cesar, Benny, Stevie and Paco, another member of the crew, stroll along sharing a roll-up. Cesar has wraparound shades and a black t-shirt on. He and Benny both have shaved heads and tattoos on their necks. Benny wears a white muscle vest. His rosary beads dangle to his waist. Under a dark, wet underpass, there's an active graffiti site. The wet concrete walls are covered in throw-ups, tags and burners. A subway train rattles by overhead. Benny, Cesar and Paco, with black coats pulled up over their usual gear, strut onto the site. Water drips from the ceiling. Against an opposite wall, a graffiti writer in a dark hoodie is spraying KOS in large black and chrome script on the wall. The writer is standing on an old crate. He turns round and watches the three guys approach across the muddy, waterlogged ground.
What's up? You guys writers or what?
What, you don't know me, fool?
Nah, man.
You sure? You just fucked up my piece, puton.
You guys from KOS or what?
KOS, come on, nigga. Right, yeah, we KOS, fool.
Shut up.
Hey, dude, I got some silver in my sack. I could just clean it up for you. Thought, you know, I'll take care of it.
Got some black in it.
Don't fuck with me.
Somebody just have to bust a cap in your ass.
Hey, come on, graffiti ain't all about that. Talk about bombing, getting citywide. Dude, you don't have to get all violent on me.
Danny, don't be getting violent now.
That's it. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
He's so bad, Danny. He turns his gun on Cesar.
Uh-oh, that was all shit.
Then he looks at his electronic tag. Then he shoots the fleeing writer in the leg.
I got time for this shit.
You think this is funny? I don't call my PO in 15 minutes, I'm fucked.
Benny walks by the writer and shoots him dead.
Hey, Benny, come on, man. Let's get the fuck out of here. Yo, Benny, come on, man. Let's go.
Benny just keeps on walking. Paco and Cesar go off in the other direction. On the ground, the crumpled figure of the dead writer, Benny's retreating figure in the distance.
Blanca Orantes.
Here.
Andrew Blackwell.
Yo.
Benny Chacon. Benny Chacon.
Benny's not here. I think he went AWOL, Mr. G.
Garfield stares at the empty chair and then looks down at his register.
Hey, Leonard Thomas.
Yeah.
A kid in long plaid shorts and chunky black trainers pulls a small wagon full of scrap across some dusty waste ground. The wind blows tumbleweed and lifts the dust into great orange drifts. He stops, picks something up, and dumps it in the back of the wagon. It's Benny's electronic ankle tag. He ambles off into the dust. In a blue shirt and red spotted tie, Garfield walks along a school corridor. Ellen pokes her head round a door.
Trevor.
19.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
You know, Escander did file for stress leave. They asked me to finish out the semester.
That's great.
It's just till the end of the year.
I wanted to thank you for letting me cry on your shoulder the other day.
Sorry.
Have you seen Benny lately?
No.
His PO says he hasn't heard from him in 4 days.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know what they say. Be careful what you pray for. I mean, don't get me wrong. Benny's made my life a living hell. I mean, I've even had to move in with my mother because of him. I mean, I love my mother, but if I eat one more dinner off a TV tray or I watch one more rerun of Wheel of Fortune, I think I'm gonna lose my fucking mind.
She turns round and shouts at her class. Garfield smiles. An email message. No TV dinner, no Wheel of Fortune. How about dinner? Trevor. Car lights twinkle on the highway. An insecticutor buzzes on a porch. Ellen sits on Garfield's couch in a long white summer dress drinking wine.
When was the last time that a student surprised you?
You mean when the light came on?
Oh, that's been a while.
Don't you ever get lonely?
Yeah, sometimes. There's this passage in God's Lonely Man by Thomas Wolfe where he says, the whole conviction of my life rests upon the belief that loneliness is the central and inevitable fact of human existence.
That's really depressing, Trevor.
Oh, it's just my New York upbringing. It's not so easy looking on the bright side these days.
Well, I guess you would feel that way after spending a year going in and out of hospitals.
No, that wasn't that tough. The robbery, that's what's the hardest for me to get over.
And what'd they steal?
My passion, the spark, my unguarded self. I miss them. I want them back.
Well, if you ask me, they're still there. I think everyone else has given up. They're so beaten down. But you're different. You refuse to be beaten.
Well, thank you.
Where are you going?
Got something for you.
Did you know that Cesar Sanchez is special ed?
No.
Yep, he's SED.
Severely emotionally disturbed. That's great. I wanted you to have this.
A white box with a patterned lid. She tentatively peeks under the lid.
Ah! I can't believe you are so...
Dancing together.
When I go back on my right foot, you come forward on your left foot. Then when I go forward on my left, you go back on
taught you that?
Uh-huh.
Fresh little kid. Was he this fresh?
He leans her back. Her red wine spills over his shirt.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Can I get you something?
Yeah, get the baking soda out of the kitchen, would you?
Sure. Where in the kitchen?
The fridge.
Oh. Sorry.
It's all right.
In the bathroom, he's taking off his shirt. She sees the terrible scarring on his back. Shocked, she drops the soda. Garfield, seeing her distress, abruptly pulls down his t-shirt. Garfield walks Ellen to her door, where a golden retriever waits.
Yeah. Hey, Jack. Hey, sweetheart.
Oh. Hey. Hi. You're a good dog, yes you are.
I want to apologize for reacting the way that I did.
You don't have to apologize. Everybody reacts that way.
Thanks for dinner. You had a really good time.
You're welcome.
They stand close, wrapped in an awkward silence. He turns to go.
You know what you need? You need something to liven up your house.
She fetches a tall cactus in an earthenware pot from the porch and holds it out to him.
It flowers.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Night.
She breathes out and reluctantly watches him go. The digital clock reads 2:49 a.m. Garfield's bed is empty. He pulls on a red sweatshirt and walks outside. Sitting on an exercise bike in the garden, he pedals furiously. He slows down for a deep puff on his inhaler and carries on cycling manically. Bungalow 86 shimmers in the heat. Inside, ineffectual fans whirl. Pupils wipe their foreheads, shed extraneous clothing and fan themselves with sheaves of paper. Garfield, with beads of perspiration on his face, surveys his class. Sitting on his desk, Stevie waves his hand in front of Paco, who seems comatose. Garfield looks unimpressed.
Since some of you seem to be so interested in pharmaceuticals, I thought I'd prepare a little demonstration for you. Rita, could you bring your friend in the cage up here, please?
Rita, with a nose ring and a crop top, brings over the cage.
Name is Snowball. Like that little pig dude from Animal Farm.
You read Animal Farm?
School girl.
Shut up, Cesar.
You read Animal Farm, Cesar?
Nah. But I fucked a sheep once. I should say.
Cesar, come up here. I want you to have a front row seat for this.
He gets up slowly and ambles forward, wearing his black shades. Cesar lowers the shades. They dangle from his ears.
Man, I was up late studying all night, Mr. G.
Garfield places his fob watch on the desk.
Can I have it?
Sit down. I want you to read Young's Rule, page 564, top of the page.
I ain't reading that shit.
Rita, give Cesar your book so he can read.
Nah, forget it. I ain't reading that shit. Stupid shit. Stupid bitch.
Just read it, man.
Garfield walks over and leans heavily on Cesar's desk.
Please.
Young's Rule. Formulates. Formulates.
Shoves the book off his desk.
Settle down, people.
Fuck you guys, man.
That's all right, Cesar. You'll get another chance.
Garfield pulls off the sunglasses and throws them down. Cesar leans forward, gripping the desk. He has "fuck you" written on his knuckles.
I'm having this brown bottle. Prescription for liquid Demerol.
Where'd you get that from, sir?
This came out of my private stash, dude. Demerol is a morphine sulfate. It's soluble in water. Young's rule says, divide the age of the patient by the patient's age plus 12, thus giving you correct fraction of the adult dosage suitable for the patient. In Snowball's case, I calculated the dosage for a one-year-old child.
He drops the liquid onto a sugar cube with a pipette and places the cube in the cage. Snowball lies in the corner of the cage as if dead.
He'll be awake in about 10 minutes.
Garfield slides his pocket watch closer to the cage. The hand moves round, and after almost 10 minutes, the class gather round Garfield's desk, where the rat still lies motionless on the floor of the cage.
Dead? I hope he didn't die. Don't look good, Mr. G.
It's not gonna work. You should have woke up by now.
You just got yourself a murder case, Holmes.
Garfield smirks. The rat wakes up.
All right, everyone who didn't answer the questions on page 264, please do so tonight.
Garfield reaches for his watch, but it's disappeared.
Cesar. Hold it. Where's my watch?
I ain't got no watch. I gotta go.
Well, come here. Empty your pocket. Come here!
Let me put it to you like this. I gotta get your bus, all right?
Outside in the baking sunshine, Garfield marches along the edge of the stadium. Ellen walks on the other side of the fence in the opposite direction.
Hey.
Hey.
I have to see Highland before he leaves.
Oh, it's
but I've been meaning to come see you.
Oh, it's almost been a week. It must be avoiding me. Are you okay?
Yeah. Look. It's pretty much been like this since, you know, since my accident. But it has nothing to do with you. I gotta go.
Can you do me a favor? When you're finished with Highland, could you give me a ride to my car? It's at the mechanics. It's 5 or 6 blocks off Lancashire. I mean, if you can, it's okay. I can walk.
No. I can manage that.
Thanks.
Base 1 to base 3, found him. Hey, Mr. Garcia would like to see you in his office.
Garcia's
Garfield.
Office.
Thanks for coming in. Sorry we have to meet under such circumstances.
A dictaphone.
You don't mind if we tape record our conversation? Matter of record, you understand? You know Mr. Highland, right? Your teacher's union rep?
Am I being questioned?
Well, Mr. Sanchez and Mr. Littleton tell me you've accused them of stealing your watch. If that's the case, I need to address the accusation.
Beginning of 6th period, Cesar admired my watch. I believe his exact words were, "Can I have it?" Bottom line is, I'd like my watch back.
Anything else?
I asked him to empty his pockets, and he refused.
Is that true, Mr. Sanchez?
No way. He never asked me nothing like that. I don't go around taxing teachers. I don't got no damn watch.
Okay, calm down. Empty your pockets now, please.
Cesar obliges.
Mr. Littleton, may we see what's in your pockets too, please?
Stevie follows suit.
I'd like a locket search.
Good, I could use the money. I'll sue your ass.
You're excused, gentlemen. Take your things, please. Thank you very much.
Stevie swaggers out past Garfield, followed by Cesar, who pauses in the doorway and turns back.
You don't have time, do you?
It's 3:22, Mr. Sanchez.
3:22, thanks.
Mr. Garfield, let me try and explain something. I work very hard to try and think of our students here at John Quincy Adams as my clients. Larry, we can't have another lawsuit like we had on that Blackwell case. That one cost the district $250,000. So I need you to be straight with me, Mr. Garfield. Did you physically see Cesar take your watch?
No, I didn't.
Gentlemen, unless we have reasonable cause to show Cesar or Mr. Littleton took your watch, I can't authorize a locker search. Sorry.
That was my grandfather's watch. Can't you see what they're doing? Weren't you ever a teacher?
I'm afraid I never had the privilege. Teaching and being a principal don't necessarily go hand in hand, Mr. Garfield.
Well, that's beside the point.
Have a good day.
Garcia switches off the dictaphone. Garfield leaves with a cynical smile and follows Mr. Hyland to his office.
So why didn't you say something?
Hey, the asshole's a politician. He's got every angle covered.
Well, I'm thinking of videotaping my classes.
Yeah? Well, you want some free advice? Cover your ass. If Garcia asks, the camera's main purpose is to observe you, not the students. I mean his clients. Some gangbanger might think we're violating his civil rights. Yeah. Sorry, Iris. Completely forgot. Right. Trevor, you got a minute? I want to talk to you about the discipline committee. I got to make a run up to the office real quick.
Go ahead. I can wait.
Alone in the office, Garfield starts to stare intently at the desk. Looking around furtively, he reaches towards a box in front of him. The box contains reference cards of the students' locker numbers. Now in Garfield's car.
I have to fly up there for a computer conference.
When's that?
Day after tomorrow.
I've never been to San Francisco.
Oh, you should go sometime. I think you'd really like it. It's only like an hour by air or 5 or 6 by car, but it has a totally different attitude than L.A. I think my problem is that I hate to leave Jack with my mother for any extended period of time because I'm afraid that, well, she'll forget to feed him and he'll starve to death.
Garfield spots Rita.
So anyway, San Francisco. It's, you know, it's more like a real city, like Chicago or New York. Or Baghdad. Or Mars.
Hey, I'll take care of Jack for you while you go.
Rita was arguing with someone in a car. Garfield drives on. Now an aerial view of L.A., the flat anonymous houses dwarfed by pylons, telegraph poles and palm trees. Garfield emerges from his house with Ellen's dog Jack at his heels and a glass of water in his hand. He shakes his head and pours the water on the cactus sitting in its pot in the sparse garden. Now Garfield's setting up a camcorder in the corner of the classroom. He jumps when Rita storms in.
Hey! Hey, 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 Rita. Now, aren't you supposed to be in P.E. fifth period?
These Sundance boys are tripping me, holdings.
Okay.
I gotta make J.C. next year.
Rita.
I got to, G.
Rita, calm down.
I'm never gonna get up out of here. That bitch, Quinn. I'm gonna sue her ass, I swear to God.
Okay, Rita, slow down. Now, who's Quinn and what's she teach?
English comp. She's failing me. She hates me, G. She's racist against me.
Just because you're Latina doesn't mean she's racist.
Hey, I'm Chicana.
Okay, Chicana. Now, you gotta stop blaming everybody else. You're too smart for that. And whatever's wrong with that essay, I'm sure it's correctable. May I see it?
She shrugs her consent.
Use some of that tissue then.
She dabs her eyes.
Why do you wear so much makeup?
To make me pretty.
You don't need it.
He reads a tattoo on her neck.
Puppet.
Nothing, that's a... It's a gang thing, but, that shit. It's because I look like I'm down for my neighborhood, don't mean I'm stupid.
Sifting through her work, Garfield finds a Polaroid of a boy, the name Puppet beside him, and R.I.P. scrawled across the bottom.
Okay. The ideas in your essay aren't the problem.
He rises and goes to her.
It's your punctuation, grammar. You need work. Am I lying?
She shakes her head.
Okay, if you need help, I'm here for you.
I don't know.
I don't know? Why'd you come here? Look, we can meet in the library, all right?
Somebody might see us.
I'll come to your house.
No way.
Okay, Rita. You pick a place.
At Garfield's house, Rita sits on the sofa in front of an open notepad.
You want something to drink? I got Coke,
Sprite, juice?
Yeah, cola's all right.
Rita steels herself and rises.
You know, Rita, you're not the only one whose reputation's on the line here. I don't normally tutor students at my house.
Her moving shadow falls across the sofa.
Since you're here, maybe you can clear something up for me. This whole machismo code of honor thing. I mean, come on. Is pride really worth dying for?
He stops and looks embarrassed.
Let's put your clothes on, Rita.
She lies curled up and naked on his sofa. He puts the tray down and turns his back as she angrily puts her dress and underwear back on. Agitated, he claps his hand over his mouth and waits for an instant before turning back round and sitting on the armchair opposite her. She sits on the sofa, puts her hand to her forehead, and begins to cry.
Okay, no harm done. Come on, don't cry.
I just wanted to thank you.
She dumps the notebook on her lap. Garfield sits on the table directly in front of her.
You don't have to thank me, Rita. I'm your teacher. Look, maybe we better meet in the library from now on, okay?
Garfield switches on the camera in the corner of the classroom.
Hey, homie, what's up with that? Dog, you invaded my privacy, bitch.
Caesar, come up here.
Shit. I hope you ain't sending this shit to Most Wanted. Let me fix my shit so I look good.
Caesar swaggers up to the front.
Since you were so concerned about me losing my grandfather's watch, I thought you might like to know I found it.
He holds up the watch.
Broke into my locker, Mr. G. It's a serious felony. Cut yourself the case for sure now.
Really? And what do you propose to do, Caesar? Tell Garcia? And what are you going to tell him? That I broke into your locker and stole the watch that you denied taking in the first place? I don't think so. What do you say we call this even?
Nah. I say we just getting started, Mr. G.
Well, maybe I should have someone from the office call your mother.
I thought you knew. Us poor Mexicans, we don't got phones.
The camcorder footage ends. Now Garfield kneels at the foot of the bed, his hands clasped together in prayer. He bows his head and looks upwards.
I'll try.
He gets up. Nighttime in Los Angeles. In a rundown ghetto, kids play at throwing trainers with the laces tied together up in the air and hooking them on the overhead wires. Garfield pulls up by the side of the road and a trainer lands on the car bonnet. Avoiding the flying shoes and the unruly kids, Garfield gets out of the car and makes his way cautiously across the road. Inside one house, Caesar watches cartoons on the TV and swigs from a bottle of liquor as his mother frets around him. His mother scolds him. Subtitles read, "Stay out of my things, Caesar. Look at me. That money feeds your baby sister." Caesar says, "I'm the man in this house. Show me some respect." He slaps her out of the way of the TV. She replies, "Then get a job and take care of us. Don't steal from my purse." He fishes some money out and tosses it at her, saying, "Here, I don't need your stinking money."
I ain't getting that door. You hear me?
Si, que es?
Señor Sanchez. Soy el señor Garfield, de profesor de ciencia de sed.
I see, Andre.
She slides back the metal grate to let him in. Garfield says, "I know it's late. I hope I'm not disturbing."
What the hell are you doing here, Garfield? Huh? I didn't say you'd come up in my house.
Look, Caesar. I came by here to see if we could squash all this, you know?
Oh, yeah? Well, I say you ain't got no motherfucking right. Why don't you get the hell out of here?
Why don't we try to start over?
His mother says, "It's my house too, Caesar." Caesar spits on Garfield's open hand and goes.
Está bien,
está bien.
Lo siento.
Está bien.
Ay, perdónalo, él no sabe lo que
hace. Wiping his hand, she ushers Garfield inside and closes the door. He pets the baby as she tidies up.
No, gracias.
Ay, corazoncito.
Garfield sits down at the table. She picks up the baby and sits down opposite him. Garfield explains, I'm having problems with Cesar at school. She weeps. I don't know what to do. He won't listen to me. God forgive me. Sometimes I wish Jesus would just take him. Garfield asks, what's that bruise above your eye? She covers it with her hair. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. Tight-lipped, Garfield contains his emotions. As Garfield returns to his car, Cesar and his gang advance on him.
Hey, puto. You lied to my homeboy Benny. Phone has been no Spanish. What's up with that, man?
No, I didn't.
That's fucking bullshit, is it?
I know you did.
You like hitting on your mother, Cesar?
What's up, Pissy?
You must be really proud of yourself.
What's he talking about, Holmes?
He's fucking lying, eh? Fucking mentiroso.
Hey, where you going, puto? Homeboy don't never lie to his jefita. Never disrespect, you hear me? You hear me,
puto? Whatever you say, Cesar.
Do whatever I say. Fuck, I'm gonna find out if you leave.
They beat and kick the car as Garfield turns around and drives away. Cesar throws a bottle after it. A group of students peer into the doorway of bungalow 86. The classroom's been trashed, graffiti scrawled on the walls, papers scattered on the floor, furniture overturned. Garfield approaches and enters to find Dave prowling furiously inside.
Look at this, look at this shit.
Man, whoever did this is going to pay. Better believe it, essays.
Garfield finds his camera smashed on the floor.
Hey, get out of here. Get these kids out of here.
Barsek. Barsek! Don't touch anything.
Barsek spots the rat, skewered with a pair of scissors.
Whoa. Look at the rat. What? What? Look at the rat, man. You think that's funny?
Dave lets go and Barsek backs away.
Are you a fucking player? Get the hell out of here!
Outside, Cesar and his friends smoke joints.
Yo, put that shit out, man. Here comes Garfield.
You out here smoking the chronic, Cesar?
Nah, man. I ain't hooked on chronic. I'm hooked on phonics.
You wouldn't happen to know who vandalized Bungalow 86 last night, would you?
Bungalow 86? And you guys know about Bungalow 86? Nah. Nope. Sorry, maestro. Nah.
You know, Garcia might not be able to prove anything. But you and I both know who's responsible, don't we?
No, I'm serious, man. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
The ring, Cesar. Give it to me.
You better watch it, man. That's my trigger finger.
It's inappropriate attire. Are you finished?
What? Am I finished? Is that what you said? Don't try to get fucking crazy on me, Theron. You want to bring it on? Come on, let's go.
They surround him.
What you gonna do?
Garfield starts to back away, holding Cesar's gaze, then walks off. Cesar mimes, shooting him in the back.
Get the fuck ass out of here,
fucking bitch.
A plane roars through the violet sky. Garfield picks Ellen up from the airport and trundles off.
Conferences mainly focus on software now.
Yeah, well, software sells.
So, how's Jack?
Jack's good.
And how's Trevor? Has Trevor been behaving himself?
What? What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Is that supposed to mean something?
No, it's not supposed to mean anything. Jeez.
Talking to the lady, all right?
Garfield returns to the car. He glances across at Ellen, who has her head bowed.
Sorry, all right. Forgive me?
They pull up the battered old jalopy in Garfield's driveway and climb out.
Should I grab this?
Nah, we can get it later. You want to see Jack?
Yeah.
Jack, your mommy's home.
Come here, Jack. Come on, sweetheart.
Here, boy. Jack!
Usually he just comes when I'm home. Jack?
Jack!
Jack!
Right back here.
The lead stretches from the post over the wall.
Jack?
The dog hangs dead on the lead.
No!
The dead dog is put into the back of a van.
Don't beat yourself up too much. Whatever it was, he jumped over the fence. What can you do? Clark?
Garfield stares after the van as it drives away. He bows his head, anguish etched across his face, and turns to close the gate. He sees Ellen inside, her arms wrapped tightly over her chest, her face drawn and miserable. He stops and notices KOS sprayed on the back of the wooden gate. Ellen sits on the sofa staring into space. Garfield pads out behind her with a glass of water in his hand and taps her on the shoulder.
Aspirin.
She takes the water, slips the pill into her mouth, and takes a sip. Garfield looks at her anxiously.
You know, Trevor, I don't think that I can talk to you right now. I'm so upset that I can't even drive, so I just think it would just be best if you just... if I was just alone.
She curls up in a ball on the sofa. Garfield straightens up.
Sorry, Ellen.
He leaves and goes out to the yard. He shines a torch at the dusty ground and sees a set of footprints by the gate. The trail of footprints lead along a sandy track beside a highway to a figure spraying a cartoon picture of a dead dog on a road sign. A bottle of liquor in one hand, a joint in the other, Cesar applies the finishing touches, staggers back to admire his artwork, and collapses. He picks himself up and tosses the bottle aside. He lopes on, but turns when he hears a noise behind him.
Paco, is that you?
He peers blearily at the sandy path behind him. A stray dog stares back at him and scampers away.
Stupid gato.
As he drags on his joint, an arrow suddenly hits him in the chest. Dazed, he looks at it. He grabs it and yanks it out. On its tip is a hypodermic needle.
Stupid Indians.
He lurches on giddily and falls against the bank at the side of the track.
Damn. They got some good shit.
He slumps down and passes out. Viewed close up, the pupil of his eye dilates rapidly. Ellen wakes up to find herself alone in Garfield's living room. She sits up on the sofa.
Trevor? Trevor?
She gets up and walks over to Garfield's bedroom, looking around her in drowsy confusion. Rubbing her eyes, she finds an empty aspirin box on the chest of drawers.
Where's the aspirin?
She searches the drawers and turns away, but then pauses and slowly turns back. She opens the top drawer and pulls out a string of rosary beads. She looks at them and shudders. A thick haze hangs over the city at dawn, reducing the tall buildings to blurry silhouettes. The headlights of the line of traffic on the highway resemble a glittering snake slithering through the hills. The bright sun, still low in the sky, rouses Cesar from his deep sleep by the roadside. He sits up and puts his head in his hands, smearing his shaven head with blood. His index finger is missing. Later in the hospital, a needle's injected into the bloody stump.
Why you do better than that, Cesar?
I put it on my mother, detective.
So your science teacher shot you an arrow full of drugs, then chopped off your finger?
Yeah, it had to be him.
And he smoked the motor for you too, ass.
Beat your motherfucking nigga, hick my guts, all right?
Who are you covering for, Holmes? This circumstantial bullshit ain't gonna hold up in court, I'm telling you that right now.
Caught too many priors, juvenile GTA vandalism.
Look, man, I know it was him. Listen to me, man.
Well, you saw his face, right?
Fuck yeah, I saw his face.
And let me save you from perjuring yourself, asshole. You're full of shit.
I swear to God, I know it was him.
This guy's wasting our time. Listen, you come up with something better than that, or maybe the truth, you give us a call.
Come here, Holmes.
File it under B, man.
B?
Bullshit.
An orderly carries an envelope labeled Cesar Sanchez. He hands it to the receptionist, who opens it up and tips out a bloody finger with "Are you done?" tattooed on it. Now the rain pours down outside as Garfield holds his science class in the repaired bungalow 86.
All right. Name one of the four parts that make up the human hand.
What?
Hands, please. Christian.
Metacarpal?
Metacarpals, that's good. Okay, anyone else? Rita.
The wrist and thumb.
Wrist and thumb, very good, very good. All right, come on. There's one more very important part. One more. The phalanges! Phalanges. Everybody wiggle your phalanges, please.
Oh, phalanges.
Come on, everybody wiggle them. You two, G's in the back. Phalanges, G's.
Phalanges.
Cesar sulks, nursing his finger, sewn back on and heavily bandaged. Later, Garfield finds Ellen sitting at a computer.
Nakami?
Hi.
So what happened to you the other night?
I was going to ask you the same question.
I went for a run. So you want to go for Chinese later? There's this new place in the Valley Center. I hear it's pretty good.
I've got all this stuff that I have to put into the computer. Maybe some other time.
Sure. I probably need to grade some papers. You know, I think some of those bungalow kids are actually starting to care about a grade. Even Cesar. Today, for the first time since I took over for Escander, he actually did some work.
She smiles weakly. He grins back. Then his smile fades.
You all right?
I'm much better. Thanks.
Okay.
Garfield sits beside Rita at a table in the library, staring pensively out of the window.
Finished. Mr. D, finished.
Dave argues over a photocopier.
You know, I'm thinking since your essay deals with gangs and getting away from their influence, you probably could have left in some of those double negatives you like so well.
So now you want me to use bad grammar?
Only when it suits your topic.
I know. We're all products of our environment.
Huh. I think everybody's responsible for their own actions. No, see, this is like hip-hop. If you take out all the bad grammar, then it loses its impact.
Mm. So you like hip-hop, Mr. G?
No, I hate it.
What kind of black man are you?
This really is a good essay. You put in a lot of work. It shows.
Thanks, maestro. Comes from the heart. You think I could be a writer?
You know, Miss Quinn tells me she picks two seniors to read their essays every year at graduation.
Well, she ain't gonna pick mine. Well, anyways, I don't want to get up in front of all those people. I'm a fool out of myself.
Oh, really? Why? You're afraid it might be some kind of Pyrrhic victory?
What's that?
Tell you what. Look at that.
Traffic streams over a bridge across a river with tall concrete banks. The water level is low and the surface covered with stagnant green weeds. A body is washed up amid piles of weeds and a discarded shopping trolley. It's Benny, his clothes ripped and his skin blotchy. Now Ellen is holding her computer class.
You see, you can't do that. See, either you'd need different software or you'd have to sweep your hard drive, which would take 2 or 3 days. But before we get sidetracked with viruses and TSR programs, yesterday we were talking about email. So, if you click the icon at the bottom of your screen, you'll be able to send and receive mail. So go ahead and click the white envelope.
You've got mail.
Oh. Okay, someone's way ahead of me. All right, double click open read.
She does so, and an email message flashes up on every screen in the room. It reads, "Teacher fucks niggers." The class point at their screens. One black student looks at it in disbelief. Ellen stares in horror at the words. Looking to see who sent the email, she sees a line of question marks. She scans the room and spots Stevie sitting sulkily at the back. He glances up at her and avoids her gaze.
You see, that person isn't as anonymous as they think they are.
She taps quickly at the keyboard and disables the anonymous server. She types in a message and punches enter to send it. A message flashes up on Stevie's screen. Go to the office. The black student glares at him and rises.
That's bullshit. No, you better step off, Miss H. You can't fucking prove anything. And I know you can't afford to lose this minimum wage job of yours.
You know, you're right, Stevie. I can't afford to live in a big house south of the boulevard like you do.
Ellen marches purposefully to the reception desk, where a woman is waiting, muttering to herself.
Iris, have you seen Stevie Littleton?
No, haven't seen him.
Not supposed to leave your classroom unattended.
Sue me.
Ellen glances at the woman.
Benny Chacon's mother told the Garcia had to leave early today, but she just sits there. She's been saying some pretty crazy things.
Ellen drums her hands on the desk, then walks up to Benny's mother.
Mrs. Chacon?
Si.
I'm Ellen Henry. Benny's in my class.
Si, señora, usted conoce a mi hijo, Benny Chacon. Por favor. Hace 5 semanas que...
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Me parece que él es el muchacho que está en el río, señora. Por favor.
What is she saying?
You heard about that body they found in the LA River? She says she thinks it's Benny.
Lo conoces, mira, mira la foto. Mira a ver si lo conoces, por favor.
Mrs. Chacon hands Ellen a photograph of Benny as a young boy, smiling innocently at the camera. Tall, spindly palm trees stretch up towards the sky, bleached out by the glare of the sun. The image moves in dreamlike slow motion as Ellen and Mrs. Chacon approach the Los Angeles County Coroner.
You say he's been missing approximately 4 weeks?
4 or 5 weeks.
She speak English?
No.
We get 80 to 90 bodies a month sometimes. Gangbangers, illegals, floaters. Nobody's even looking for them. But you ask me, this kid was dead before he got his head caved in. Overdose of morphine, that's what it looks like to me. Now, on the phone, you said that the mother mentioned some identifying marks?
Yes. She said he had pop marks on his chest from a bad case of chicken pox, and he had a barcode tattoo on the back of his neck.
In the morgue, Ellen and Mrs. Chacon have masks over their faces. The coroner unzips a plastic body bag and uncovers the face. Mrs. Chacon is led over to the body and summons up the courage to look at her dead son.
Do you find any rosary beads on the body?
No.
That night, Garfield wakes with a start and sits up in bed, looking sleepily around him.
Who is it?
It's me.
Hi.
He lets Ellen in.
What's the matter?
I just want you to tell me one thing.
Garfield puts on his glasses and blinks at her blankly.
If you had any idea what I was thinking lately, you'd think that I was crazy.
She stops pacing and turns to look at him.
You remember the body that they found in the LA River?
Yeah.
It was Benny.
Garfield stares at her and frowns slightly.
Who told you that?
Benny's mother identified the body.
Garfield shifts, casts his eyes awkwardly around the room, and shakes his head.
You know, Benny was no saint, Ellen. He hurt a lot of people. You know, before we go shedding tears over him, I think we should remember that. No, I saw the way he may be better off. I know we are. I mean, don't you feel safer with Benny gone? Don't you think you deserve to?
Tears well up in Ellen's eyes.
You don't know anything about Cesar's finger, do you, Trevor?
But did you know Cesar beat his mother? And he was here the night Jack died, in the back.
What are you talking about?
Jack was provoked, Ellen. It was no accident. Cesar killed him. What happened to Cesar was inevitable. You know, at some point, people have to take responsibility for their actions. I mean, he and Benny were takers. They want what they want when they want it. And we can't expect the system to protect us.
Ellen turns and walks stiffly into Garfield's bedroom. She returns with the string of rosary beads.
Where did you get these?
Garfield smiles sardonically and shakes his head.
I admire you, Ellen. Like you, I used to think the world was this great place where everybody lived by the same standard I did. And some kid with a nail showed me I was living in his world. A world where chaos rules, not order. A world where righteousness is not rewarded. That's Cesar's world. And if you're not willing to play by his rules, then you're gonna have to pay the price on it.
He looks away awkwardly, wanders towards her, and takes the rosary beads from her.
I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I don't know you!
You do know me. I'm a teacher. Just like you.
In the grounds of the school, an open-air party is in full swing. Balloons drift around. People in cowboy hats dance. The students bask in the sun. Rita and a friend stand watching the dancers and smiling happily. Garfield stands at the urinal in the heavily graffitied toilets. A figure enters behind him.
Hey, Gene. I'm talking to you, Garfield. I know you did a Cesar. And I'm thinking maybe you did Benny, too. Is that possible? Did you bash my friend's skull in? Would you fuck him up with a 2x4? You killed my friend!
Let me by, Stevie.
Fuck that, I want an answer!
Leave me alone!
He claps his hand over Stevie's mouth, then lets go and Stevie runs off. Garfield looks at his reflection in the mirror and leans weakly against the wall. Stevie sprints outside and finds Cesar and Paco. He gesticulates wildly, swinging his arms in violent gestures. Cesar and Paco scan the crowd. Cesar points over at Rita and her friend, and the three advance on them. Reaching her, Cesar shoves Rita aggressively.
Schoolgirl, bitch!
What the fuck is your problem?
You're fucking my ass, that's my problem.
What are you talking about?
Garfield killed Benny. Hey, don't think you're fucking back when I'm talking, little bitch. Come here. What, you think you're better than everybody else, huh?
No.
Well, because you ain't. You ain't nothing but a little asshole.
Shut up.
Now, did you forget all the good times we had in the bungalows, huh?
Shut up.
What the fuck you fucking a nigga for, huh?
What?
Now, what, you think he's gonna protect you? Huh? Keep me from doing what I want with you? Fuck me up. Fuck you, stupid little bitch.
He slaps her to the ground.
You want something to eat, little hoe? Huh? Come on! Come on, bitch! Wait up!
Cesar runs after her. The security guards give chase. They catch him. Rita runs off up the concrete steps. Cesar and Paco are led away.
What? Huh? The fuck you gonna do? Fuck you, bitch!
In the school hall.
The death of Benito Chacon is not gang related. That is something you heard on the news. It is wrong, it is misinformation.
Wait a minute. How can you be so sure? We're talking about the safety of my kid.
Everyone, please, just stay calm.
Thank you, Mrs. Ford. The police at this point aren't even sure if it's a murder case. The reason we're having this meeting tonight is to quash all rumors that may be floating around out there. Okay, this is what we do know. Benny Chacon ultimately died of a drug overdose.
Garfield sits with the principal and governors on the stage.
It was morphine, which is what heroin breaks down into.
That's bullshit! Benny was no junkie. I know who did it. And it ain't the gangbangers gotta be worrying about. It's the teachers.
That's exactly the kind of rumor we don't need, Mr. Littleton.
Who's Garfield?
All eyes on Garfield. Ellen watches sadly from the hall entrance.
Sit down, Stevie.
Say one more word and you're suspended.
You're a fucking murderer, Garfield! Now maybe I can't prove it, but he fucked up Cesar and he killed Benny.
Victor, please.
It's the truth, ain't it, G? Ask him! Touch me, I'll sue your ass! You're dead, G! You're fucking dead!
Stevie and Paco are chased from the hall. Dave looks over at Garfield with a snigger. The principal eyes Garfield suspiciously. Outside, Dave runs down the school steps.
Hey, Garfield. Garfield, wait up, man. Come on. Hey, you're not let that Littleton punk get to you, are you? Come on, he's a tweaker. He's a speed freak. Don't let that punk scare you.
What are you on, Dave? How can I help you?
Well, how about a ride? You give me a ride home? My old lady wouldn't give me the car this morning. She's a bitch.
You smell like beer.
I only had two. I swear to Christ, that's all I had. Come on, give me a ride. I live right over here off Chandler. I'll buy you a drink. Come on. Get in.
Come on, what do you drink? Scotch, bourbon, beer, gin. Hurry up, wait for Christ's sake, I gotta pee.
I had a similar situation happen to me about the time of that Night Stalker. You remember him? Whole city was scared shitless. My old lady, she thought that the friggin' mailman was the stalker for a couple of weeks there. But then, some mental midget from my fourth period, he gets this idea, he starts this rumor, see, that Dave Childress is the Night Stalker. I mean, even after they caught that Ramirez fuck, I can still hear this guy saying, no, no, you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy. Childress is the stalker, S.A. Idiots.
It's getting late. I better go. Thanks for the song
today. Hey, whoa, 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 hold up. Hold your horses, man, hold up. Can't let you leave without meeting the kids. Come on, man.
Dave unlocks a metal cabinet. Inside is an assortment of guns.
Ta-da. What we got here? Well, this gun is from Czechoslovakia. This is a CZ-22 automatic 10-round clip. Glow-in-the-dark sights. Huh? Ain't that a beauty? Huh? All right. We got a custom Smithy 9mm with extended grip. Because as you know, in Smith & Wesson, boom, boom, it kicked like a mother.
Oh, and here it is. Oh, this is a beauty. This is a Glock 21. Huh? The lightest handgun in the world. Because the barrel, firing pin are made out of metal, but everything else on this sucker is made out of plastic. Come on, baby. Go ahead. Feel that. Go ahead, take it. Because, you know, you never can be too prepared. My pukey little Colt 380.
You wear that thing in school?
Come on, Garfield. Jesus Christ, they don't check teachers with the metal detectors. I got a 357 in my desk drawer. Of course, you know that. You think I was paying attention? You should have seen the look on your face. You know, Jose, I told you once, I told you 100 times, stay in your cotton picking seat, boy. Boom. Come on, man. Don't tell me you never wanted to blow one of these little bastards away. Yeah. Oh, speaking of blowing, you ever want to fuck a high school chick? Yes, because I caught your girl Rita. Caught her out there in the utility shed a couple months back, busting the train. Must have 5 or 6 cholos lined up back there. Let's face it, brother, the girl's a slut. She's a slut. Come on, man, I know you did her. I know you had her. Even I had her.
Get drunk.
I'm so fucking what? I'm drunk. You know, man, I'm kicking it with you, you know? I'm sitting here, I'm talking to you about screwing high school broads and this and that, and you're sitting there copping the self-righteous attitude like your shit don't stink. So what gives? I mean, did you do it, Garfield? I mean, did you whack Benny? Huh? Well, you can tell me. I ain't gonna tell anybody. How about Cesar, huh? You know me, I thought it was mighty generous just taking off his little finger. I would have cut off his balls.
Go to hell, Dave.
Huh? What?
Garfield stares coldly at Dave.
Son of a bitch. You crazy motherfucker, you did.
You probably think you and I are alike.
Garfield looks up at a certificate of excellence in teaching hanging on Dave's study wall. He smirks. Garfield gives him back the handgun.
Night.
And strides out. The headlights of Garfield's car spill over a yellow end sign, then onto the columns of trees that line his drive. The lights brighten his garage door. Garfield pulls up and stares in cool contemplation at the large letters scrawled all over it. You are done. Now inside, he's staring blankly at his TV.
Celeste, you're still in school. You're just 15.
Yeah, right? I am.
So, what kind of a future plan do you have for yourself?
Well, I know that I'm gonna have to like tame down my look. There's a lot of jobs where you can actually wear hats. It's not illegal.
Go ahead, Nikki. Go ahead. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. You got an empty chamber knife gun.
No!
Put an empty chamber knife gun.
Cesar, also slumped in front of his TV, swigs liquor from a bottle, his splinted finger pressed into his cheek. The film playing is The Deer Hunter. Unfolding on screen is a scene in which soldiers are forced to play Russian roulette with a bullet loaded into one chamber of the gun. Cesar's dark eyes watch him passively as a terrified Vietnamese slowly raises a gun to his temple. Garfield sits in the school library, resting his chin on his fingers. He stares reflectively at his briefcase on the desk. Garfield looks up into a convex mirror on the wall. He blinks. Suddenly, in its reflection, a figure appears to be marching towards him. Garfield closes his eyes, gulps, and looks up again. The figure comes closer. It's Dennis Broadway, The boy's mad eyes staring out, Garfield shudders.
I don't think she's coming today.
The assistant disturbs the vision. Garfield sucks on his inhaler, then pulls his briefcase off the table and slopes off wearily. Now outside, Garfield strolls in the heat of the day through a downtrodden neighbourhood. Nearby, young boys play basketball outside decrepit caravans, and a young girl bathes a baby in a bucket. He approaches a small lot, sectioned off by a wire perimeter fence. Inside is a battered, dirty old caravan. Rita sits on a bench outside with other children and a little girl on her knee. When she sees Garfield, she puts the child down and comes to the gate.
Missed you this morning. What happened? I thought I'd come by and make sure you were all right. You okay? Look, Rita, you know if you don't come back and take finals, they won't let you
graduate.
Yeah,
I'm going back, so forget it.
I promise you, Stevie and Cesar won't bother you.
Don't matter. Squishes for other kids. Not me.
Come on, Rita, you know you don't mean that. You're doing so well. Come on, don't throw it all away. How about that essay, huh? How'd you do? You still want to be a writer, don't you?
Rita pouts and shakes her head.
Listen, I know about Childress.
What?
He'll never touch you again, I promise.
He's full of shit, man. What? Just get the fuck out of here. I don't need your damn pity. I don't need you.
Vamos! Made a mistake, that's all.
She ushers two kids into the caravan and slams the door. Garfield looks on solemnly, turns and goes. Rita pulls back the curtain on a window and stares out at his retreating figure, then promptly swishes the curtain back. Now Garfield is back in the principal's office.
You see these? Phone calls about you. Good ones.
Garfield stares down blankly, avoiding his gaze.
Your mother told me how you tried to help him. You're evidently a good teacher. However, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to let you go.
Garfield appears not to hear.
As much as I'd like to have you stay until the end of the year, I can't overlook the seriousness of certain accusations. I mean, is it true that you had meetings with a female student at your house?
He nods, a tear rolling down his cheek.
I was trying to help her.
His dark eyes stare sadly through his glasses.
The implications are still there. I can't afford to open the door for another lawsuit.
Still, he stares into space.
I'm sure you can appreciate my position.
Garfield is unresponsive, his jaw tightly clenched.
Stay till Friday. I hope that'll be sufficient.
The principal bows his head, then shifts awkwardly in his seat. He gets up as a cue for Garfield to leave. Eventually, Garfield pushes himself from the chair. He walks past an empty, newly polished corridor. Nearby, Ellen leans in a doorway chatting to Mr. Highland.
I don't think you're being an alarmist. He gets a little overzealous at times, like some other people I know. I don't think the rosary adds up to much either, frankly.
Why?
It's probably his. Look, when I received my first Holy Communion, all the boys got black rosaries, all the girls got white rosaries. Trust me, there must be millions of black rosaries filed away in desk drawers from here to the Vatican. The guy's been through a lot, Ellen. The system failed him. I don't think any of us can really appreciate what he's been through.
Yeah.
I say we give the man a break.
He puts his hand on her shoulder. She gives him a faint smile. As he goes, a look of puzzlement creeps over her face. Garfield stands holding open an external door, giving the school one last look. He trudges off, clutching a box of belongings. The evening sun throws a golden glow over the sidewalk. He approaches his car, then stops, looking at it. 187 has been scratched into the black paint. He sighs resignedly. A truck motors past. Ellen, at the steering wheel, glances back at Garfield, who stands gazing down at his car. She continues to watch him from the mirror, her eyes narrowing with a look of melancholy contemplation. Garfield's shadow spills over the car door. It lingers for a moment before falling away. Now the car appears as a spot on the brow of a steep LA street, its hazy silhouette against a dusty orange sky. The potted cactus lies broken in Garfield's yard. The number 187 has been scrawled over more of the walls. Garfield's house has been completely defaced with graffiti. His car pulls up. Even the garage awning support pillars have been daubed with the number. Out of the car, Garfield stares grimly at the violated facade. He glances over his shoulder at a car pulling up behind him, then moves off. Watching from inside the vehicle are Cesar, Stevie and Paco. Cesar drags on a joint as Stevie loads a gun.
You dogs ready to do this, Holly?
Orale.
Once we go in, we don't come out till that nigga's dead. You hear me?
Got that right.
Then you down with KOS.
So I've been waiting for us, sir.
Stevie?
Yeah, I'm down.
And you guys leave that house, I'll kill you myself. You know what to do.
Cesar hands Stevie an electric trimmer.
Hey, would you jack this car from Holmes? It's just nasty. Hold on.
Stevie leans over to Paco and begins shaving the slick black hair from his head. Paco, with a determined glint in his eyes, pops a cartridge into a handgun. Garfield sits head down, slumped on his bed. He looks up out of his window. His moist brown eyes blaze as they reflect the heavy orange setting sun. In her kitchen, Ellen pulls a soapy plate from the sink. She pauses and looks up to her window to see the last segment of sun disappearing behind distant hills.
Okay. Like my eye?
She blinks, jumping at a smashing sound. In the car, Cesar fills his gun chamber with a bullet. Now Stevie shaves his own head. The three skins stare menacingly through the window. Paco spins the cylinder of his gun.
Let's smoke this bitch.
They march out of the car in a threesome, their weapons at their sides. They look about, their faces set in a hard, determined gaze, then scatter as they near the house front. The sun has almost disappeared now. Garfield lowers his eyes from the window and looks up to the crucifix hanging over the bed. He smiles at it, closing his eyes.
I'm in here, Cesar.
Don't you move, Garfield. You make a motherfucking move.
They surround Garfield.
You killed my homeboy, Benny. And you cut off my finger. Now let me hear you say that shit.
Yeah, I did it.
I told you, man! Fucking A! Let me do him. No. The snake is mine.
Cesar targets the gun between Garfield's eyes. The others stare as Cesar holds out a handful of bullets.
You ever seen deer hunter, Mr. G?
Now opposite Garfield, Sazer puts a bullet in his gun's chamber, spins the cylinder, and places it down on a round table.
Put it to your head. Pull the trigger. You're gonna do yourself.
Garfield draws it to him and cocks it. He slams it back down.
Am I macho enough for you, Caesar? And make me a man?
Take more than that to be me.
Yeah, then you do it. Come on, Maricone. Do it.
Vato's scared. He's trying to weasel out of it. He's just fucking with your head, man.
The two men lock eyes. Caesar gulps. Garfield smiles back, grabs the gun, spins the cylinder and swings it to his temple.
Come on.
That's not how we play in the game.
Not man enough to play your own game, Caesar? Where's your cojones?
Shut up!
Paco strikes Garfield round the head.
Don't hide behind your chicken shit, homeboy, Caesar. Where's your pride? Come on, I pulled three times. You ain't pulled once.
Caesar pulls the gun to him, then lifts it towards his head, looking defiantly at Garfield. Stevie grabs his arm.
What are you doing, man? Ain't disrespecting me? What, you saying I ain't a man?
I'm saying you're a fool.
Caesar targets the gun at his own temple.
Hey, don't be doing that shit, man! You the man, Caesar. You the man, and you ain't shit! You hear me? You ain't shit!
Yes,
he got character, and you ain't got fucking
doing,
shit!
Man.
What the fuck?
Caesar loads another bullet.
Yeah, shoot it there, Tommy. Your turn.
Oh, you got some respect back now? Only thing you respect is stupidity. You willing to die for stupidity, Caesar? See, I am, if it'll teach you something. You can't kill me, homeboy. What I am, what I was, died over a year ago. Everything I've ever wanted has been taken from me. And no matter how many of you I get rid of, I can't get it back. I was a teacher! I wanted to help you! You can't kill me! And you can't scare me!
He's fucking crazy, man.
That's right, I'm crazy. Isn't that what you respect, huh? Loco? Come on, Caesar, if you're gonna be stupid, don't be half-ass stupid. Be all the way stupid. Take the gun, put it to your head, pull the trigger. Do it! Do it!
Stevie, now very distressed, sways, pointing his own gun at Garfield. Caesar studies Garfield with furious, staring eyes.
Do it! Your whole way of life is bullshit! Macho is bullshit!
That's all I got!
Oh, so now you're the victim. Well, let me take your turn for you.
No! Shit. He's out.
Caesar pants, rooted to the spot.
He's fucking out. He smoked himself.
Let's go.
Oh, man. Let's go, homie.
He took my turn.
What?
I could have taken my own motherfucking turn.
So fucking what, man? He's dead. Let's go.
Let's go. Come on.
I gotta do this.
Fuck this, vente, César, te vas a...
No, César, vas a perder, César!
Cállate, los hijos, te meto el cuete!
How you doing? Let's go!
I got one in six chances. I'm gonna beat this bitch.
César, no! What the...
Paco stares down, horrified. Stevie enters and pushes Paco out, biting his lip, rocking back and forth on his feet. Stevie looks down at César.
What's the fucking point?
Stevie's face crumples and the boy goes, weeping and striking the air pathetically with his gun. Cesar's body is slumped forward, his fingers still holding the gun, the splattered blood running in streaks over the tabletop. On the floor, Garfield's legs stretch out, tangled around his chair. A potted fern in a white container adorns an empty platform. On the green field before it, white chairs are arranged in neat rows. Shadows pass over the chairs as figures make their way towards them. The parade of high school graduates move in slow motion, single file, decked in dark-coloured mortarboards and gowns. As they walk, their silk robes ripple, gleaming in the bright sunshine. The teachers, also robed, stand proudly before the platform as the graduates swarm to their seats. "Congratulations, graduates," is written on a banner at the front of a spectator stand packed full of people. The graduates seat themselves. Stevie is one of the graduates, hardly recognisable with his newly grown black hair. He sits thoughtfully, blinking in the sun. From under a black robe, white stilettos make their way across the platform. It's Rita. She takes her place at a lectern. David takes a seat in the stand and Paco watches through a wire fence.
The title of my essay is Mi Salida, My Way Out. There's been a lot of talk last couple of weeks about whether Mr. Garfield done all those things they've been writing about in the newspapers. He once told me that you can't blame everything on your environment, but I think you can push a good teacher too far, and he'll go bad like anybody else. I don't know if Mr. G done all those bad things. What I do know is that teachers don't get no respect. I'm up here today because of him. He was there for me when nobody else was. Thing is, I should have been there for him too.
In a classroom, personal belongings are being shoved in a box.
I didn't want to stand up here today. But Mr. G asked me if I was afraid it would be a Pyrrhic victory. And I asked him, what's up with that? He said to go look it up, so I did.
Now, in the blue half-light of a mortuary, Garfield's naked body is being laid out on a slab. Cesar's body lies next to him in a row of other dead men.
It refers to this guy named Pyrrhus. He was a king around 300 BC. Pyrrhus defeated the Romans on two separate occasions, but those two victories cost him a large part of his army.
Ellen shuts her desk. She sits back on it and gazes tearfully around the classroom.
So now, whenever somebody says that something is a Pyrrhic victory, they mean it's a victory gained at too great a cost.
Rita's face contorts as she fights back the sobs. In the classroom, Ellen looks up at her teaching credential certification hanging on the wall. She rips it down, throws it in the bin, and strides out of the classroom. White captions on a black background read, 1 in 9 teachers has been attacked in school. 95% of those attacks were committed by students. Metropolitan Life Survey. A teacher wrote this movie. ITFC audio description.
Self-destruction and unable to stop.